Casa de Aura.
I thought the room was empty. Where'd you guys all come from? My name's Laurie. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be sober, and I'm grateful to be here. And, God, this room's packed. I swear it was empty when we walked in here. I want to thank our friends and one sponsor that was able to show up. And, you know, I love my sobriety and I love my life. My sobriety date is August 26th of 1994. I've been sober 21 years, and I say that to impress you. I'm joking. I say that to impress me. I'm joking. I say that because when speakers come up here, I always wonder how long they've been sober. You know, this is one of my things. I want to know how long you've been sober. And there's people in this room that knew me from the very beginning, and they watched me grow up and fall back down and grow up and fall back down. And, you know, the life that I have today is just, it's an amazing life. When I got here, I had no self-respect and no self-esteem, and I hated who I was and the things that I'd done, and I just wanted the pain to stop, and I just wanted to stop what I was doing. I drank no matter what as often as I could, and if I didn't have something in my system, I made sure I had to have something, I made sure I got something in my system, and that's just how it was for me. I didn't know how to do anything when I got sober. I didn't know how to ball. I didn't know how to dance without being drunk. You know, that's what I was like, you know, just looking for it, whatever it was, as much as I could, as often as I could. And what happened was I hit that bottom, and I was getting ready to get evicted from my apartment. I wanted to commit suicide. My job, they kept me there. They were very codependent. And I would ride the bus. My car was broke down. I would ride the bus to work, and... You know, one time it was so funny, I had vodka at home, and I forget this stuff, and that's why it's really good for me to speak. I rode the bus. There was a liquor store down the street from my work, but I rode the bus all the way home to drink and come all the way back to work, and my boss said, and she's like, "You smell like alcohol." I'm like, "I do." You know, and I forget those things, you know, and it's funny because why didn't I go to the liquor store? It was right there, you know, I don't know, those things we do. But, you know, I hit that bottom, and I just wanted to stop, and I made a phone call, and they asked me all these questions, and, you know, I'm sobbing into the phone. It was Thursdays, because I used to be able to get IOUs out of the drawer at work, so I would take money, put an IOU in, and I could, you know, she would deduct it out of our paychecks. Like I said, they were very codependent, and by Thursday, I was ready to jump off the bridge or do whatever. I was scared of heights, so I didn't do that, but I made that phone call. And they asked me all these questions. At the end of that conversation, she asked if I had a problem with drugs or alcohol. I'm like, of course I do. You know, and I got pissed. And my story, I thought, was that I hung up the phone and waited another week. I don't know if that's true or not. But I know that I did finally go to that outpatient program. And what I had to do for that is go to 2 meetings a day. And they put me on disability for 90 days. What was awesome for me is that I wanted this program more than anything. I wanted to be sober more than anything. I don't know where that willingness came from. I believe I was ready. I was 28 years when I got sober. I'm going to be 50. I'm going to be 50 in a couple of months. I'm like, oh my God. My husband just turned 50, and you know, I don't know. So I was 28 years old, and I've grown up in this program some, and other times I feel like I'm 12 still, you know. 2 minutes left already? Sorry. That was nothing. That was mean. That was really mean. He said I had 2 minutes left, which I'm good with because I don't like speaking anyways. My favorite part of speaking is when I sit down and I'm done. But it's an awesome adrenaline rush. You guys should try it if you haven't spoke before. It's great. You're like, ah. Okay, so back to me. Where was I? I'm joking. So I went to that outpatient program, and I had to go to a lot of meetings. And I chose to go to a lot of meetings because I didn't know how to be by myself and be sober. And I did what I was told, and I made a lot of phone calls, and I made a lot of friends in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've continued to do that. And I always have a support group, and today it was so funny. I was laying in there, and I'm like, I don't have any friends. And I started laughing because it's like, I have so many people I can call. You know, that's my head. My head gets to me a lot, especially, you know, even today. And like I said, when I got here, I went to a lot of meetings, and I continue to go to meetings today. And I have that support group that I can call. And when my head starts going, I reach out and I ask for help. And, you know, Debbie was sitting next to me. Me and Debbie, I don't know what it is. When I'm in meetings, I try to make her laugh. And I just have fun. You know, I come to meetings and I have fun. And there's a language of the heart that happens for me here. And I get a big smile on my face when I see friends that I've watched walk in I see friends that I know from, God, years ago, years and years ago. You know, and we're still alive, and we're still sober, and we're sober on a Saturday night. Amazing, huh? But 5 years sober, I went to a roundup in Laughlin, Nevada, and I met my husband. We've been together 16 years. We've only been married, Helen? Nine? We've only been married 9. I wanted to make sure we were together for 7 years. We were 40 when we got married. We said, when he proposed to me, I said, okay, because I did not want to get married. I said, if we're still together when we're 40, we'll get married at 40. And we did, and we're still together. And we have an AA household. And, you know, the steps are read at every meeting for a reason, and they're really important. And the steps apply to all aspects of my life today when I remember to work them. You know, I'm powerless over people, places, and things along with alcohol, and I know this, but those are my problems today. You know, I have to ask God to help me continually on a daily basis. Sometimes all day I'm asking God for help. My short serenity prayer is, God, help me. And, you know, I was suicidal at 14 years of sobriety. I was suicidal at 19 or 20 years of sobriety. I don't even remember. But what I did was I came to meetings, and I told you guys what was going on with me, and I shared what was happening, because I don't want to die. And I know that we're alcoholics, and I know that we have problems, and I know that you guys can help me. So if you're feeling like that, talk to somebody. This isn't about happy, joyous, and free all the time. It is a lot of times. I wouldn't be here still if I didn't have fun, I don't believe, because I like to laugh a lot. But my head tells me that I'm not okay, and that, I don't know, my head can mess me up a lot. My husband, don't tell. My husband knows me 100%, you know, and he's seen me at my worst, and I've seen him at his worst. You know, and we walk through life together, and we have an AA household, and, you know, when we're wrong, we don't promptly admit it sometimes. Oh, I know. You know, but at a certain point, you know, I'll call my sponsor, and she'll go, well, what do you think? Think he had a point there? I'm like, no, and I'm, well, maybe. You know, so we have this household where it is an Alcoholics Anonymous home. We have people come over and hang out with us. He has sponsees that he works with at the house. I have sponsees that I work with at the house. I'm just discombobulated, big word, huh? Big word. you know how you like, it's like I asked God to guide me tonight, and whatever I said I was going to say, and that's that. So, really? Two? I thought I was done. Okay, so the steps are read. Because they're important. And what I've learned in the last couple years are the traditions, how important they are to us. You know, the traditions are amazing. In my life today, I did it was a kind of a study or a relationship workshop on the traditions in your relationship is what it was. And that helped me to look at how I treat my husband and how I am in a relationship, you know. And because I need to be the person that God wants me to be, that I've been made to be, not that person that I was before I got here, you know. And at 21 years sober, what I can tell you is this: I have this awesome job, I have this awesome relationship, I have a wonderful man in my life who, you know, like I said, we've been together for 16 years, which is amazing for me. But most of all, and I have outside stuff, but most of all, it's the inside stuff. You know, when I got here, I couldn't look you guys in the eye. And like I said, I had no self-esteem, and sometimes that hits me today. You know, sometimes I'm like that today. But I go to a women's meeting, or I go to a meeting, or I call my sponsor, or I talk to my husband, or, you know, I have so many people. I talk to Joey. I talk to Jim helped me with the relationship stuff back when me and Michael first got together, you know. Back 15, 16 years ago, I was talking to Jim outside the Alana Club, you know. I talk to people, and I ask for help. I have to ask for help today because I can't do this by myself, and I'm really, really grateful that I get to be here tonight, and I'm done, right? What? I'm done? One more minute? Okay. You know what's funny? I'm trying to, like, wrap it up really fast because it was only 10 minutes, and now I have enough left. So the meetings that I go to Rule 62 on Monday night. That means don't take yourself so seriously. Wednesday, I sometimes go to a women's meeting. Friday night, I go to the meditation meeting. Saturday mornings, I go to the women's meeting. Saturday nights, we come here, go to La Jolla Speakers sometimes. Sunday nights we go to Casa de Oro, Fifth Tradition. And I don't hit those meetings all the times, but those are pretty much my regular meetings that I do attend. I'm getting ready to change up some of those meetings. I know that there's so many meetings in San Diego that if I don't like a meeting, I can pick another one. And if I don't like that meeting, I can pick another one. If I keep choosing meetings and I don't like all of them, something's wrong with me. I know that. But there's something, there's meetings that fit every one of us. You know, you can go to a biker meeting. You can go to a not biker meeting. Easy Desert Riders. Michael and I used to go to Easy Desert Riders. It's not really a biker. Well, sometimes it's a biker's meeting. But that's at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, you know, and that's where he met his sponsor. And, you know, there's, what do they say? There's a nut for every screw, you know, and there is in this, in these rooms, you know. Yeah, people that dress up all the time, and you have people that don't want to dress up all the time. You know, so if you're not happy in your meetings, change them up. What I've learned is that when you need to change a sponsor, sometimes you need to change sponsors. Sometimes you need, what I know is this, when somebody comes to me for help, I'll help them as much as I can. If I'm not doing for you what you need, I would rather have you get another sponsor than die. Rick just talked about somebody going back out again. It's like, this is a very, very dangerous and scary disease to me, and we die from this disease. And I know that if I've picked up a drink tonight, that my head will tell me I could last for a little while. That's not the way I drank. And then I was like, I wouldn't do that again. Yeah, I would do that again, because that was my thing. You know, I would drink, and then I would do one, something else and something else and something else, because that's who I am. So what I want to do is I just want to stay here, and I want to help all the people that I can when they want help, and I just want to be the person that God made me to be today. Thank you.